All right, I'm going to shuffle the order around a little bit. I want to go to the Upper Land Use Commission so I can get the president of the hospital out of the room here. So, public comment on airport land use. Public hearing.
So this is a public hearing, so open that.
Report.
Hi. Good morning, Haley Lane, Planning Director. So it's not often that we meet as the Airport Land Use Commission.
This is a first for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, brief responsibility and intent of the Airport Land Use Commission, otherwise known as the ALUC. So the state has provided us powers to operate as the ALUC. So what do we do? So our two principal powers, one being that ALUCs must prepare and adopt an airport land use plan, and we have one from 2002 that we still use and operate, also called the Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan. And two, ALUCs must review the plans, regulations, and other actions of local agencies and airport operations for consistency of that plan. So that is the main reason why we're here today. So there are two principal limitations of ALUCs. The ALUCs do not have any authority over existing land uses, and ALUCs do not have the authority over the operation of airports. So that being said, the Mount Shasta Mercy Medical Center, which is located within the city of Mount Shasta, submitted an application to amend their existing airport permit, and so that's why we're here today. So the airport land use compatibility plan dictates certain levels of review when there are airport changes. And so with the Mount Shasta Mercy Medical Center, they have an existing heliport and they are wanting to add lighting to that heliport for emergency nighttime operations, which makes sense, right? It increases the safety of the airport. If they're needing to get somebody, let's say, you know, to Redding, Sacramento, where have you, they're able to do that. And so since they had to amend their existing permit, that triggered review by the ALUC. And so with that review, staff, as in the ALUC secretary, which is myself, the planning director, had to go through and make certain findings to take a look to see if the, you know, this project was consistent or is consistent with the plan. And so a little bit funky, right, as I mentioned, the airport is located in the city of Mount Shasta, right? So we're not looking, or we're not approving a project. That's, you know, the city of Mount Shasta, they have that local authority. We're simply just looking to see if it's consistent with the airport land use compatibility plan. This airport, or, you know, sorry, this heliport is also a private use airport. And so it's a little bit different because it's not within an airport influence area, right? So it's not near, you know, the Dunsmuir, you know, public use airport or the Reed public use airport. So it doesn't trigger extensive review. So staff pretty much just had to go through the airport land use compatibility plan to make sure it's consistent. There are findings contained in the staff report package that notes that it is consistent with the airport land use compatibility plan. And per state law, we are required to hold a public hearing on this project. So that concludes my comments. I do want to note that the president of, you know, Mount Shasta Mercy Medical Center is here, as well as his project manager. So you know, during the proponent section, they can come up and introduce themselves. But other than that, that concludes my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. We'll get that in the discussion.
Sure.
Any correspondence, Wendy?
Not at the clerk level.
Proponents arguments? Opponents? Public comment.
Showing none online.
Thank you. So there's no rebuttals. Do we get the continuance or is it going to close us?
Close it.
We'll
it's
close
resolution. It's a by resolution. Yep.
Thank you. I'm going to bring this back for discussion by the board. Any questions from the board?
You gotta love bureaucracy.
Yeah.
This is the first time in 17 years.
I know.
Yeah, so when they had reached out, I'm like, oh, maybe I can just write up a, you know, a staff memo or something saying it was compatible. And then they were like, no, you know, Caltrans Aeronautics wants you to, you know, go through the process. And I was like, okay.
Well, for the first one, I hope this is a softball.
Yeah.
We actually had a resolution back in 2018 of the ALUC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was 18.
Yeah, I think Rachel had one for... some project that needed some consistency finding,
Okay. It's definitely different than BOS stuff.
Okay, mm-hmm. End of the discussion.
I didn't see any reference to noise. Was
is there any consideration to like nighttime noise, any 10 o'clock cutoff, anything like that?
Yeah, so I know that the FAA, they conducted their own study, and through that expansive study, they, just from the information that I received, it said that there was nothing that was going to adversely affect the efficiency or the safety of the project, but the project proponents may have some additional comments related to noise if that was, you know, discussed at any other city council meeting or what have you.
Yeah, I would just say...
You got to come up, state your name. Sorry that this is after the close of the meeting.
Yeah. That's okay. Good morning. My name's Roger Page. I'm the hospital president at Mercy Medical Center, Reading, but not Shasta. It wasn't Reading. So in regards to the noise, we already do nighttime landings. It's a pretty straightforward project in that we were notified that we needed to upgrade the lighting in order to be compliant and be able to continue to do landings and also transports out. So being a level 3 trauma center and for the good of that community and being able to get patients out, that's why we're here with this request. No additional. Any other questions?
Any other questions? I'm going to make the recommended motion.
Thank you. Second. I hope that this didn't cost an arm and a leg for a permit. No? Hopefully.
Free of charge.
Oh, what a deal.
Well, there's no permit, right? So it was just consistency.
What a deal.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Wendy.
Director Help. Director Copseth.
Aye.
Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Oren.
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela.
Sure.
I've got a question, quick question for Haley. Are you going to be around to sign, or would you like to
be here?
Chair? Okay.
Yes.
Get that taken care of for you.
Okay, let's go on to our urgency item for Public Works.
Urgency item.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Tipping.
It's regarding contract for Overland Road Transfer Station 6 to the
Amanda. Just so state
Amanda
your name for the record.
Project coordinator, Cecil County General Services.
And we previously discussed how on November 14th the Board of Supervisors approved a sole source contract to make emergency repairs to the concrete tipping floor at the Overland Road Transfer Station, and that was done without making emergency findings required under the Public Contract Code. So staff is here today to present a resolution that includes those findings and also a delegation of authority to the CAO to enter into emergency contracts. And we also have Chief Deputy County Counsel Dana Barton here who expediently worked on this with the department, and we're very appreciative of her services, and she's here for any questions the board may have.
Any questions from the board? Board's wishes?
I have a quick question. You said CAO to execute the contract, so we're not going to have the chair sign this one, correct?
And I'll defer to Dana. Was it anticipated that the CAO would?
I believe it's anticipated that. We've drawn this contract.
What's your name?
My name is Dana Barton. I'm the Chief Deputy County Counsel for Siskiyou County. We've drawn up this emergency contract for the board to authorize and sign, and the CAO is being delegated authority to handle any related and associated emergencies for the site going forward so that those emergency contracts and decisions can be done at the administrative level of the CAO.
Does that make your copy?
It does, okay. And I imagine it's going through DocuSign?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Thank you.
That's what I need.
All righty. Supervisor Hall?
Aye.
Supervisor Copseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure. Okay, now we're going to go to Public Works. We're going to talk about our road department.
Tom Deaney, Director of Public Works. We were asked to present on mudflows going down View Avenue in the Mount Shasta area. I have Brian Chinoni with me as well as Rick Dean. I'm actually going to talk last. Brian's going to talk about what caused the event, then Rick will talk about the subdivision, then I'll talk about our mitigation steps.
What we've done. Thank you. Mr. Shinoni.
Brian Shinoni, Director of Emergency Services for Siskiyou County. Thank you, Board, for having us today. So as you know, we did have tropical depression or tropical storm Hillary that was, as the National Weather Service repeatedly states, it was an anomaly. Once it came up the valley, it stuck right at, kind of backed up on Mount Shasta and dropped about 7 inches of warm rain on top of the mountain, thus creating a debris flow. From that area, we have been in contact with the U.S. Forest Service, their geologists, their experts, pretty much across the board. And so the watershed analysis for the area, according to recent digital imagery, is that there's a high, medium, low probability of debris flows throughout Mount Shasta. That channel is actually doesn't even register as less than low. So it was one of those incidents that was really an anomaly in that. So looking at that and why and what, kind of moving forward, as you know, if you don't know, here it is, Tropical Storm Hillary was declared as a federal disaster. It is under DR 4750, so this week and next, we'll be meeting with FEMA as well as Cal OES to develop our plan for this. Unfortunately, it is only public assistance. There was no individual assistance for the storm, so it's going to be public works, anything that's there. But the good news is that impacted areas for SBA. So the SBA will come in for businesses and nonprofits in the area that were affected. We'll develop that plan moving forward Thursday. So with that, additionally, by having it declared a disaster, we are also pretty excited about the hazard mitigation grant opportunities that we're going to apply for. So nothing has been set forth, but there is a hazard mitigation 404, which is going to allow us to develop immediate response for that area. And then we have 406, which is more of a long-term affected area, and we will be sitting down with the stakeholders and all those involved and build a hazard mitigation plan in accordance with the U.S. Forest Service. So as we know, the mountain is federal land, so there is going to be some areas there that are going to be touchy, but we'll work on a good long-term hazard mitigation project as well as the current 404. So that's where we're at as of right now. That's what stands for where we're at with.
Okay. So I do recall, Sue, as about this, maybe you recall this, a couple years ago, we had another event there that was mud. I don't think it was not to the extent that we had, but this is not what I would call low, medium, whatever. It's going to happen again.
So yes, if we don't have the imagery, but the mountain is an alluvial fan in itself. So, right, it's going to happen.
Right.
But to the what we saw that day,
the extent
of that happening. So if you look at Mud Creek or the Whitney Creek, mm-hmm. those are classified as medium. We have not had a high, thank God. If we look at up in Washington, it's very prevalent to have high debris flows. We've had mediums to lows. Although it was affected,
yeah.
Folks, it was a low event.
Okay.
And then, Stan, pending any questions, I'll let these folks on.
Mr. Dean.
A bit of information for y'all for your review. The CC&R subdivision, and also an information statement that's been publicly recorded.
So that, give that out to the public corner if you want there. Want to take one and pass them down? And did you have one other packet there as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you printed them. I could not access them on my computer.
Okay. Hey, hello to you all. Rick Dean, Siskiyou County Community Development Director. Really, I'm just here to address or answer any questions that you may have regarding mitigation measures that were in place with this particular subdivision and associated zone change. In summary, this was put into play 2005. Before you, there's a statement that was recorded basically outlining, you know, the actual issues with the subdivision. Went through the EIR process, mitigation measures were put in place to basically handle the issues at hand, early identified in the EIR. Under potential areas of controversy, issues to be resolved. Part number two specifically states that drainage impacts primarily related to potential debris and mud flows or from slope failure of unconsolidated ash and rock with little to no ground cover released by glacier melt water and summer rains. That was identified in the EIR, studied, mitigated, and so forth. From those efforts essentially put in place, there were specific parcels identified that had to have an elevated foundation, essentially, to withstand mud flow that is imminent. It will happen, as Supervisor Fallon's way to mention, this is not going to be the last time, by any means at all. In general, there's a 25 to 35% chance it will happen in any given year, but it's small mud flow, as Director Shoshone mentioned. Also put in place is a barrier on the north portion of the property, 50-foot zone, easement for vegetation to be maintained, all of which, throughout the documentation, EIR, the documents in hand, that is the responsibility of the Property Owners Association to maintain those and keep them free flowing. Also, in addition, the requirement was not to have any sidewalks or curb and gutter associated, because it would basically interfere with the mud flow that is going to come. So it's going to come, it should be minimal, and it should be able to be managed. So I'll just leave that as a summary of that.
Okay. We'll get the next from Mr. Dean, and then we'll see if there's any questions. From
okay, you. Just one point I would make regarding some comments from the public on Butte Avenue, right? There's an insinuation basically stated, since the Siskiyou County Board approved the development of the Upton Highlands in 2006 without adequate flow management, both of our properties, our neighbor's properties, and the city of Mount Shasta are at direct risk of future damage. I would just point out that that subdivision put in place there is really more of a mitigation measure. It's a backstop, if you will.
Can you speak up, please? I can't hear you. Could you just speak up because I can't hear
you? Okay. So essentially, if that subdivision was not there, the mud flows are still occur, the mountain is still there, gravity is still kicking in, Mother Nature is at work. So,
okay. Thank you.
Tom Deeney, Director of Public Works. My only purpose is to talk about what happened and what we have done to mitigate any other further problems that we have in this area. First slide that I have for you is just a map so everybody can orient themselves to where we're talking about. See Butte Avenue running in from the left, tying into the highway and running up. The main area of concern that we're going to be focused on is where the railroad tracks crossing are right here. That was a major pinch point in the last go around for the flows. Next slide, please. You can see here, this was the existing culvert. This is owned by the railroad tracks. This was in the condition that we found it after the flow. It is beat up and narrowed down on both ends, and there a ton of mud went in. This culvert had not been maintained. It was difficult to get a hold of it because it's currently railroad track, property of the railroad track, which is now defunct. Next slide, please. Here's another picture looking at it again. It was completely full, didn't allow material to run down the way that it should, which forced water to cross the road, which led into Butte Avenue. the next few slides show what we've done to take to mitigate this in the future. So we pulled the culvert out, dug down to the base, crossing those two ties on each side. I apologize for the quality of the pictures. We're not cameramen, we're road workers, so that's what you get. But you can see where we've trenched up onto both sides, and now the mud flow can run underneath the track, and it's going to allow a lot more material to be conveyed. Next, please. Here's another picture showing the same, where you get a better idea of the gap that has been added. Like I said, the whole purpose is trying to get that water shoved over to that side and stay on that side because there's no houses. And I think it's next and final. And here is one more where you can kind of see the gapping that we have here. Now, it is important to stress that the work in this area is not complete, right? There is still more maintenance work that needs to be done and will continue to be more maintenance work up along the edge of Evermore Memorial Highway. The work that we're doing now is we're trying to make it so it will be easier to maintain going in the future, much further up, not in the area that we're discussing here. Everybody's aware that Everett Memorial closed because we had mud flows further up that crossed the highway. Some of those culverts are so deep you can't get to them unless you have a backhoe with an extension on it. So we're punching in culverts closer up that we'll be able to dip out during the storm, because all the bad stuff happens once the culvert stops working. Having a culvert that low, that's great, but we need one that we can get to and maintain during the actual event. And that's all I have from the public works side.
Okay, I'm gonna go to public comment first and we'll come back to the board for discussion. Kathy Casey.
Kathy Casey, I live in Mount Shasta on Shasta Avenue, and I spoke with you on the 11-14 meeting in regards to the damaging mud flow on 8-21, and I made a packet that shows just a fraction of what happened on our land, and also what happened at the culvert at the railroad tracks. Kind of changed what I want to say after listening to the presentations. As an update, the rain damage from a system a few weeks ago was revealing. All drainage came from the south side of the main entrance of Upton Highlands. It flowed down the east side of Everett Memorial. When it reached the culvert at the railroad tracks, the culvert that had just been worked on could not handle the water drainage. It was starting to go west across Everett Memorial to the railroad tracks, like the mud flow did. And this indicates that there is a need for an infrastructure that would prevent the mud flow from reaching the subdivision. That would benefit everyone in our area, including Upton Highlands and the city. I have made copies that I also gave to you of an in-depth study by Mount Shasta Tomorrow from 2004 that was submitted to the Board of Services before approval of the subdivision that clearly explains the problems that could and then did happen as a result of building on a floodplain. Other members of the community wrote of their concern. I'm not here to affix blame on anyone, but I really feel that a poor decision was made before members of this board were seated. So I am hoping that the situation will be looked at, and not just a matter of handling or diverting mud flow, because usually what happens is it seems to get diverted to someone who doesn't need it, like the city or Butte Avenue. So what I'm hoping is that a plan will come to prevent the situation. It will be expensive and require time and working cooperatively with the Forest Service, Mount Shasta City, geoengineering specialists, private entities such as the McLeod River Railroad, and local constituents. Weather is changing, and we will be experiencing more devastating mud flows. I don't get this, it's only a minor. Have it run through your house and see how minor it is. And I don't think it's going to be like a once every 50-year event. What may happen that is even more severe in the near future, and I hope that prevention is something that's looked at. It's going to be a lot harder to do, but I think it's something that needs to be there for both the Upton Highlands and the people down below. Thank you.
Jackie Parker.
Hi, my name is Jackie Parker, and I've lived in the area since 1979. My property, the bus Upland, is on Everett Memorial, and I moved in there in 2012. I came because I wanted to hear what's in the works for public works, and I appreciate everything that you presented and what is planned for the future. I do want to say that since 2012, water has flooded through that area, not nearly as bad as this, and I haven't personally had any property damage, but I witnessed some, I've been told it was a lava tube that blew, you know, I hear different things, but I also ski, and I know that that area gets a lot of runoff from snow, so I'm agreeing with all of you and the board that some infrastructure to handle future flows on a volume needs to be done. Since the project went in at the subdivision and it's right next to me, I get to walk there. So this was not minimal, what went through there. I mean, some of the mud was this deep. But I've also noticed the size of the culverts under the driveways and how they are blocked. They've been blocked for years. And I guess the Homeowners Association goes through and they do this sort of substandard, in my mind, they push some dirt away and they make a little ditch that's supposed to, and they've done this every year, and they're supposed to handle the next year's flow. Well, that ditch gets washed all downhill, and they put a few rocks in the ditches. I don't know what that's supposed to do. And the culverts under the driveways are about like this. They're blocked. They're not now. It depends on the owner, I guess. You've got the CCNRs. I also got the CCNRs when I was considering purchasing there. And I didn't purchase them there because I looked at the potential for damage and flood. So thanks for listening to me. I'm glad to know what's going on, and I want to keep informed, and I will do that. Thank you.
Ken Kellogg.
Good morning. Ken Kellogg, Public Works Director of the City of Mount Shasta. As a soil scientist once told me in terms of geologic time, Mount Shasta is a melting ice cream cone. Mud and reflows have occurred over time and will continue to occur. The most notable ones are due to their impact on roads and development and have come from Whitney Glacier, Mud Creek, and Cascade Gulch. In 2006, Upton Highland Subdivision was approved for construction, being in the past, a path of past flows and adjoining from Cascade Gulch and adjoining gulches. It was designed with mitigation measures based on best available information. There have been recorded reflows out of Cascade Gulch area in 1928, 57, the 80s, 97, 2012, 2022, and 2023. What was once an event that might be expected every 30 or 40 years appears to be occurring more frequently. The mitigations put in place at that in 2006 cannot handle this increase in frequency and intensity. The latest debris flow caused substantial damage to the Highland Subdivision, neighboring county properties, and the city of Mount Shasta. In addition, it appears the storm drainage tension system built into the subdivision ditches is no longer functioning as designed, resulting in increased flows into the city from Everett Memorial Highway for any significant rain event. I propose that the county, City of Mount Shasta, Upton Highlands HOA, and the U.S. Forest Service partner together to develop a long-term solution to better mitigate potential negative impacts from future debris flows. There are two grants I know of. First is PROTECT, Promoting Resilient Operations for Transformative, Efficient, Cost Savings Transportation. it's a mouthful. It's a USDOT grant, and they'll be accepting applications this coming spring. There's a second one, which is a Caltrans Sustainable Transportation Planning Grant, and there will be more information coming out on that later this week. I think it's great what Bruce mentioned about the hazard mitigation funding. Hopefully we can all tie together into that. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Any public comment on Linda?
Sean Dunham.
Anyone else in the house? Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the board for discussion. Would you like to start? Michael?
Sure. I was there that day, right in the middle of it, looking at it. And I don't know, I didn't get up to the top on Everett Memorial, but I saw where it broke through on the north end of the subdivision where that road is, and that's where it began to pour through the subdivision itself. It appeared to me that that was the overload point. I'll talk about another one, but the design of how it was supposed to drain looked like it was working up until it caught that the massive mud flow and just started spreading out. The other pinch point was, as you indicated, was the railroad tracks, and that pushed it to the west side, which hit Butte and I think Shasta. I mean, clear out to the KOA. Short of that, though, in watching it, since it's been opened up a bit and now it can drain better, when you notice that when it drains now, it goes down Everett Memorial all the way to one of the city drainages that hits the creeks, but it's down there further, close to just above, what is it now? Tri-County's Bank or First Interstate, whatever it was now, but above Pepsi, I guess, is a better way to say. So it looks like when all things, I guess, are perfect, it's working well. But the clogged culverts are what created, I'll call it the overspill, unfortunately. So I'm hoping that we can mitigate whatever that looks like future so that, you know, it can actually function the way it was designed. I don't know what you do in the subdivision itself. I know that's the HOA, but where it broke out right there at the top, it didn't have anywhere else to go except over the top of the ditches. It was just so much volume. So at least right there at the road. I thought there were some barriers further up in the north, but obviously it must have gone over those. So
yes, I'm Brian Shirley, Director of Emergency Services. So that the barriers were actually moved. The mud was so the flow it actually moved them out of the way. What are those two tons?
Each one weighs.
Each block, so two tons stacked on top of each other. It moved.
So that was part of the failure then as well. Why it hit so much of it into the top part.
Right, and if those wouldn't have moved, probably would have
diverted it. Okay, that makes sense. That's all I can say. I just, you know, I hope we can mitigate what, you know, to the adverted future.
Ray, anything? Ray, anything?
No, nothing. Sounds like you're going to continue future meetings and we'll continue down the path that we need to.
Ray?
I just want to make a note that the board did receive, hopefully you received it was from this morning, an email.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was specific to this agenda item, and then from Cindy Lahan, and then we also in the clerk's office received an email from Rick and Pauline Cox, as well as Amy Cooper and Rick Knight, but they were not specific to this agenda item, but it was to this issue.
Okay.
So just so everybody knows, that's something that was received.
Okay. So is there anything?
Hi. Of course, feel for everybody that's had that kind of crisis in their lives. It's never fun to have to go through that. But I'm afraid that no matter what we do, hopefully we'll put those big two-ton blocks, if that's our responsibility, to put those back where they belong to help divert, if it is our responsibility. But I'm afraid that no matter what we do, there's always going to be a bigger crisis. There's always going to be a bigger mudslide, because that's just the way the environment works. I'm not sure that we can ever build enough infrastructure to keep some kind of
natural disaster from happening. So at some point.
So one of the things that I don't think I made clear in the beginning is that work that we've done at the railroad tracks, that is, that's like a last-ditch effort point for us. Normally water conveys in the normal way, and we won't have to use that. That was the last thing we cleared up to make sure that if everything else fails, that Butte and Shasta should stay dry.
And lastly, I just wanted to state that on that, right, it is a very large mountain. There's still a lot of material. It is with our partners at Cal OES and FEMA that we will be looking at those mitigation grants. Our goal is to apply for them and then hope for the very best on that. We have a strong package and a strong sense moving forward, but again, it is federal land, and there's only so much we can do on federal land.
So I'll just say this. First of all, I want to thank Public Works for all the effort that we've put into this event that happened. Again, I think we had for lack of a better term, we'll call it a minor event where we had some debris flow. And I think one of the things that I would say, ask this, that we're going to be on a program where we're going to check these culverts on a regular basis, not on a one. You know, and we've got all kinds of culverts, but I think you mentioned, you know, block culvert is our worst enemy when it comes to this. If they were unblocked, they wouldn't happen. I will tell you that, you know, and again, I think I mentioned that, you know, not only have we had event, my fears are going to happen more frequently. And when you get 7 inches of snow, remember we had a pretty big snow event last year. I think there was debris that was accumulating, and all it took was that big event. And that's going to happen again. My previous telephone career worked a lot of natural disasters. So you can think earthquakes, floods, you name it, I got the aftermath. We're not going to prevent another big event. That's just something that we have to deal with and be realistic about. I think one of the things I saw, the people that built in the Upton subdivision, they know they're in the debris flow area. And, you know, again, it's not a matter of if now, it's when. I'm just grateful for what Public Works has done. I think Mr. Kellogg brought up about needing some grants, maybe you guys can get together. I think we should always be looking about for those opportunities. Again, thank you for the general services that allowed for the Upton subdivision to dump the debris, no charge. But I mean, we're looking always. So I don't want my constituents to think that we're just sitting there doing nothing. We're reacting, and we're reacting daily on these kind of things. And again, I can't thank the Public Works Department enough for what you've done.
Thank you.
So with that, we'll follow up on this winter on how we played out.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break for a minute.
Well.